The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
Amanda LaPlante, you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM, and I am here today with Dr. Tyler Bryant of Inbox Functional Rehab. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you. So, I've been seeing you recently for some things, and I love that you approach, you've got a special blend of things that you're doing at your office that are just a very unique way of approaching physical issues. I guess we'll just start that way, but let's back up a little bit. So tell everybody a little bit about your background and what you do, but how you got to what you do.
Yeah, sure. So I graduated from Logan Chiropractic College here in Chesterfield in about 6 years ago. And prior to that, went to SIU Edwardsville for just a basic pre-med degree. And prior to that, so where I'm from is Salem, Illinois. So we'll give a shout out to the Days of Our Lives fans out there. We used to have a Days Fest.
You edited my notes here. I got to tell you, I had Salem written down right at the top, and
sure.
I noticed it's missing now. But yeah. I'm glad you gave the shout out.
Exactly. We used to have a giant parade for Days of Our Lives fans.
And as then you should.
And then it just kind of vanished. That was when I was in grade school. But town of 8,000, so everybody knew everybody's name and everybody knew everybody's business. And that helped, I guess, guide me in a way that I really want to care for people. And that was, it's at the baseline kind of how I work and what I do in the clinic. So fast forward, went to SIU Edwardsville, then to Logan. Worked outside of Logan for a year and then moved to Texas for a sports med rehab role within a clinic. And it was a big size clinic, multidisciplinary approach. And then my wife and I were expecting. She was pregnant. We were expecting. We'll clarify that. That's a laughable topic. It's like, I'm pregnant. No, I'm not pregnant. My wife is.
Right.
But our son was born, and then the five-year plan turned into the five-month plan because she is from St. Louis. And so we moved back, and I started a clinic here utilizing the concepts and kind of some of the models and what we had done down in Texas to just to help people in a musculoskeletal realm. So that's a fancy way to say aches and pains, sprains and strains.
Right. So back up a little bit with the clinic that you worked at in Texas. You were telling me a little bit about how it was interdisciplinary, and I thought it was really interesting. Tell a little bit about how that worked and who you worked with there.
Yeah, sure. So I was placed in, it was at the time all chiropractors. Now it has some physical therapists as well in that same group. They put us in medical facilities, outpatient clinics, outpatient hospital settings, like PT settings. Say you had your ACL repaired and you were going to your physical therapist. I had a room within that section or that bay of the hospital. And we worked alongside those docs. So when it was non-surgical, let's do some conservative care first. And then we would, if we were able to help people get over the hump, then great. Surgery was not necessary, or any type of other intervention. But sometimes matter has limitations, and then you need to go that route. And then we would have those relationships already built because there was trust.
Right. That's cool. So, all right. And then I want to back up just for a second. Now, we're probably going to get to this. Mm-hmm. We've got this great little flow we've mapped out, guys, for the interview, but I'm going to jump ahead for a minute. We were in the office the other day when I came in to see you, and mm-hmm. you were telling me about, for instance, if someone gets an ACL tear and they go in and they do the surgery, right? And you were talking about the way that the body will adapt.
Sure.
Can you give, just jump right in there.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So the ACL in your knee is there as a kind of a parking brake, if you will, and it's a ligament. Okay, ligaments are different than tendons. So for the viewer or the viewership, the listenership, a ligament connects bone to bone. And a tendon is going to connect muscle to bone. So the properties of those two different tissues are inherently different. There are some similarities, but there are some differences. So if we take a slide under a microscope of, and it is a piece of tendon, it will have tendinous properties. If we take the same slide and we put a ligament underneath the microscope, it will have ligamentous properties. So when we have an ACL reconstruction, or like for baseball pitchers, a UCL or Tommy John surgery, surgeons will sometimes take tendons and put them in the replace of the torn or damaged ligament. So it's a tendon doing a ligament's job. After a certain period of time, the body will change because the forces placed upon that newfound tendon will become more ligamentous. So if you, let's say you're a year out of surgery and you take a slide, microscopic slide, and a sample of that tendon that was a replacement, it will look like the original ligament. So the body adapts due to the forces placed upon it.
And that's what I was going to say. So all that to say, the body adapts.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the Cliff Notes version.
It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. All right. So moving back a little bit here. So one of the things that you do really well, I think, is helping patients to understand why they've got an issue, how to deal with it, and then what they can do with it on their own. That's kind of a key tenet of what you're doing with your work at Inbox.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, the biggest thing I try to do with folks in the office is give them a little insight into what's going on within their own body. My goal is to make that person in front of me a better human being in a musculoskeletal stance, right? So if we don't use it, we lose it. So Steve Carell had it right in his infamous movie, because if the body needs input and the brain needs input to make things change or stay the same or continue on certain paths, and if we don't have that input, then, well, we forget about it. And so I try to explain that to folks to make sure, hey, these are the things we need to do on a daily basis so that we don't lose them, and if we want to improve on them, here's how we can improve on them. My goal is to not make you, I can't make you bulletproof, but we can avoid all bullets as much as possible.
That sounds like a good thing. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure. So, and one of the things that you say is that movement is crucial in healing and that rest is rarely the answer. So talk more about that.
Yeah, rest, the old adage everybody hears, if you roll your ankle on cobblestones, right, do the RICE therapy, right? That's an acronym, rest, ice, compression, elevation. Research has shown that actually if we just do the ICE in its acronym form and the actual word itself, that's going to be much more beneficial than not doing anything. Now, if there's gross instability or your bone sticking out of your shin,
caveat,
right? There's an asterisk here. However, the body uses movement as input, right? That's the only way we can get input into the brain to say what's going on is to move it. If you just put your hand on the table and you don't look at it, you forget that your hand is feeling the table. But if you constantly move your hand, the table's always there. And so with healing of these muscular strains and ligamentous sprains and other injuries of that nature, ice is very crucial because that is a spot treatment anti-inflammatory. Right? If you take an ibuprofen or you take a Tylenol, that's going to go everywhere. But if you just put ice on your ankle, you don't feel it on your hand. It's just on the ankle. So it's specific, right? Compression is very good because that will shunt some of the inflammatory response to those damaged tissues. We want inflammation, but we don't want it chronically.
Right. Yeah. Big distinction there.
Exactly. And then the elevation portion is just if it's in your ankle and you're standing all day, the blood wants to pool and the lymphatic wants to pool in that ankle. If we elevate it, we can help drive some of the metabolites into like out of the, you know, out with the good, out with the bad, in with the good.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. And so, and another thing that you were talking to me about, so I've kind of got a use it or lose it situation going on, right? With my neck. I've been sitting hunched over at a computer for way too long. And things are starting to get a little stiff. And of course, that combined with the chronic inflammatory conditions that I have makes it a little more risky for me even perhaps. But one of the things that we worked on or that you mentioned was active core. And establishing muscle memory during your sessions. And so you have me doing some particular slow movements in order to kind of get some therapy to that area after you've worked on it. Talk a little bit more about active core and some of those. Say more words.
Sure. Yeah, the core is a very unique, it's a buzz term, right? Activate your core, strengthen your core, do these movements and strategies to improve your core health. The core, in a sense, you need to think about it as a canister. So your spine is in the middle of said canister, and you have your abdominals or the classic six-pack in the front, right? Your rectus abdominis. And then you have your obliques on either side, and then you have your lumbar spine erectors musculature on the back, but then your diaphragm is on the top, and your pelvic floor is on the bottom. So we utilize those muscles to buttress the spine. And with that stability of the spine, we can then utilize distal or further movements away from the midline. So it's more of a force transfer mechanism than actually generation of force. And that's how kind of injuries typically occur within these classic low back things. It's never, I got hit by a bus, right? It's, I picked up my shoelace from the laundry and I can't move.
It's amazing how that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So did the shoelace, was that, that was the straw that broke the camel's, well, back, pun intended.
Yeah.
However, if we can reverse engineer and start to help buttress the spine, things will be a lot better off moving forward during your daily activities and daily movements.
Got it. All right. Well, hey, we're going to get into a lot more with Dr. Tyler Bryant of Inbox Functional Rehab when we come back from this message. This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. We'll see you after the break. This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. And we are back with Dr. Tyler Bryant of Inbox Functional Rehab. And all right, let's jump into how the body senses stress. You have some interesting things to say about this.
Yes, I can't take full, it's not my idea. However, this I got this from one of my mentors down in Texas. And he talked about utilizing a bucket analogy. So if you have a 1 gallon bucket and you have 1 gallon of stressors in your daily life, so that can stress, the body doesn't know what is good stress and what is bad stress, right?
On a primal level.
Exactly. So working out, everyone would say that's good stress. You're doing a great job. And everyone would also agree. However, the body doesn't know that. The body just says, this is force and stressors putting on my tissues. I don't like this, right? The breakdown. So that's when, you know, if you get better and you improve your gains or you, that happens on your rest days, right? So I digress. The bucket is only so big. You can make the bucket bigger by doing things like sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night, drinking lots of water, eating green leafy things, and not shoving your face full of the processed foods. However, you can also make it smaller by doing all of those negative things, right? So you only have so much, the bucket's only so big, right? So if you work out 3 times a day and you have a stressful job and you have 3 kids that have to get to 16 different places in a 2-hour time frame, that's a lot of stress, right? So what happens is the body will react because it has to, it will adapt, and that stressor becomes less positive in terms of your workout and more negative, because you're just overflowing with the bucket. So taking things away and prioritizing things is what we need to do kind of through our daily life. And I utilize this topic and concept when I'm working with people kind of rehabbing certain injuries and things that they just want to go, go, go. Like, I want to keep doing this. I want to keep doing this. And what we do is we just prioritize and shift a little bit. We pivot. I'm not going to take anything away from you unless it's very detrimental. However, if we can pivot and manipulate certain stressors in your life, that's going to make the bucket not overflow. That makes a whole lot of sense to folks. Mm-hmm. So what happens is people say, well, I carry my stress in my shoulders, right? You're not wearing a stress-filled backpack. What happens is when we become overstressed, our cortisol levels rise. That's our stress hormone. And as that rises, our breath becomes shallow and our heart rate increases. And when the breath becomes shallow, we start to mouth breathe and we use accessory breathing muscles, meaning your tops of your shoulders and your pecs and your scalenes and other neck tissue versus your diaphragm. And if we do that a lot, you can kind of see how that overstresses the muscle capacity. So then that's why you're going to feel things in those certain areas.
Got it. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And it's a good way to break it down and put a visual to it. So let's talk about, so when people say, well, I've just got this knot.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Your muscle didn't magically detach, tie itself in a knot, and then reattach. So
there's not really a knot to mash out is what
right,
you're getting
right.
at.
For the listeners, we're using air quotes like they're going out of style. On the Facebook Live, yes, air quotes.
Air quotes.
The tissues become tense. So what you feel, it's a good analogy to say it feels hard, right? It feels like a knot or something is rigid, but it's not twisted or turned, or the fascial tissue, which is the covering of the musculature, is not like scarred up compared to like if you cut yourself and it does scar. Like that is an aggregation of just multiple pieces of collagen that just get thrown about haphazardly. What we feel is just heightened sensitivity. So it takes less of a stimulus to get an irritation, right? It's kind of like a sunburn. If someone, you know, slaps you on the back without a sunburn, like, oh, hey, pal, good to see you. If you just had a sunburn from your Memorial Day weekend and someone slaps you on the back, you're going to turn around and throat punch this guy.
Yes.
Was that stimulus different? No, it was the same, but your threshold was lower. And so that's what gets, and then we get back into this cortisol cycle and we're overstimulated all the time. We don't sleep enough. We don't eat enough. And that creates a storm for these musculoskeletal injuries to just harbor in and just fester. And then we get back to the word chronic, which is when we're talking about inflammation, we like it because that's what in with the good, out with the bad. But if the bad never leaves and it becomes this cycle, now we have some issues.
Got it. Yep. Very familiar with that. Very familiar with that. All right. So let's talk about manual therapy. And you like to say it opens up a window of change. And tell us more about what that means.
Yeah, sure. So manual therapy is the biggest implement that I use in my office working with folks. We're not mashing out knots, right? We're not steamrolling asphalt, as the analogy, or ironing out wrinkles. There are no knots, right? We just talked about that. It's just tension in the tissue. So what the body responds to is force, like we alluded to with the tendon and ligament analogy. Manual therapy opens up a window of change. It is a forceful stimulus that will allow the body to kind of say, what's going to come next? I'm open to change. And then how do we make some change as we move? And movement is going to create a whole cascade of positive things. And then that opens up more ranges. And then we just kind of, you can see how that goes down the snowball effect in a positive way. It's kind of get momentum on our side.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I've been experiencing that with myself. I've been doing these neck rolls that you gave me and some other movements in addition to the manual therapy that you did. And it is making a difference. Things are crunching and crackling as I do it, which freaks me out a bit. But now that I understand what's really going on there, Mm-hmm. It helps me to be okay with moving through it. Before, it just scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, and for the listeners, the body's going to make a lot of noise. As long as it does not hurt, it's A-okay. It's 100% fine. The analogy I use is it's like you're dusting, you're brushing some dust off or rust off of old creaky joints.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I am a little rusty. All right. Fair enough. That sounds good. All right. Talk to me about the nocebo effect.
This is a newfound term. It's not new, but it's getting more publicized now because there's a lot of fear mongering going around certain medical professionals and clinics and things. It's big on Instagram, which is interesting. Social media is very good for good things and for bad things. Regardless, the nocebo effect is kind of the evil twin of the placebo effect, meaning you can drink regular water or you can drink sugar water, and if you think it's going to work, it is going to work. It's psychogenic. The brain's a powerful tool. The nocebo effect works in the same sense, but almost in a negative light. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, meaning if you think you're going to do bad on a test, you study like you will not do well on the test. And then guess what? You don't do well on the test, right? So the nocebo effect, meaning if someone says we have this implementation that we're going to do, or you have arthritis or degeneration, or you blew your disc, or my back fell out, I don't know where it went. It didn't go anywhere.
I don't think a bacchiotomy is a thing.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But what happens is these words create negative connotations in our mind, and then we go down this very dark rabbit hole of negative things. So arthritis and degeneration of the spine or of joints is simply wrinkles, like it's not like wrinkles to your skin. It's just the effect of aging. We live on a planet with gravity, and gravity is a force all the time. So that's going to change things. And we can alter changing by moving. That's the biggest thing. We can mitigate the damage of that gravity.
Gotcha. Tell us about how people can get started working with you and what that looks like.
Yeah, sure. My website's inboxrehab.com, and I'm on Instagram. My personal is DRT Bryant. My clinic is Inbox Functional Rehab, and that's on Facebook as well. And phone number 314-399-8941. I'm in the U Club Tower across from the Galleria, so I'm easy to find and be more than happy to answer any questions or kind of give some advice as much as I can.
Any other last minute words of wisdom?
Thanks for having me on. And if I could say just one thing to folks, just move your joints in all ranges of motion that they desire to be in, because that's how you're going to keep them.
Move it or lose it.
That's it.
Yeah, truth. This is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. For more information about health coaching or to contact me, reach me online at amandalaplante.com or find me on Facebook at Get Real to Heal. For past episodes and this episode of Get Real to Heal, look for us on soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal. And if you'd like a free 30-minute consultation with me, you can also call me at 314-583-6749. Make it a great day.